Coming to Revelation chapter 15, and we want to begin reading at the first verse. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was open. And the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God, who liveth forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. Let's ask the Lord's blessing on his word. Our Father, as we come to thee tonight, we come dependent upon thee once again as the one who is indeed the author of this book. We're grateful that we can know that the revelation of these pages is forever settled in heaven. That it's a message intended not only for time, but for eternity. Because it contains the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. We thank thee, Father, that as we read these things of the fullness of thy wrath, of the seriousness of this time of great judgment and tribulation that's coming upon the earth, we thank thee indeed that there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. We praise thee for the power of the precious blood of Christ, which is able to save our souls, to cleanse us for time and eternity, and to fit us for heaven. We pray, Lord, that should there be one here tonight who's never understood the meaning of these things, one who's never come to know the Lord in a personal way, that this might indeed be that time. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight we come in our studies to John's vision of the seven vials of final judgment that are going to take place in the tribulation period. Here in the 15th chapter of Revelation and continuing on in the 16th chapter, we have something that we have noted was going to be coming as we studied together in past messages. We've noted that there is a telescopic effect about the 21 judgments that are to be found here in the tribulation period and in the book of the Revelation. Over a seven-year period from the rapture, when the Lord comes to the air to catch away his people, to the revelation when the Lord Jesus comes to the earth to set up his kingdom to rule here for 1,000 years, during this seven-year period, there is an unfolding of judgment which covers this whole time period that we have set before us. We noted that seven seals of judgment are going to be opened, first of all, and that out of the seventh of these seals proceed seven trumpet judgments. We noted how the seven trumpets are going to sound, and out of the seventh trumpet proceeds these last seven vial judgments of which we're studying tonight. Now here in Revelation chapter 15 and verse 1 we read, And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous. Seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. Now this word sign in the Greek is one that's to be found three times here in the book of the Revelation. It's found in Revelation 12 on two occasions. We read there that there appeared a great wonder or sign in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun. And we read, and there appeared another wonder or sign in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon. And here we see that John says, I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous. Seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. Now in these three signs, the number three in the Bible, by the way, is the number of completion. In these three signs, we see a complete picture of the unfolding of just what God is doing here in the tribulation period. He's doing a work that relates to men, first of all. He's doing one that relates to Satan, and he's doing one that relates to himself. Israel, so long set aside, is going to be brought into a right relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. As they recognize him as the one who's ordained of God to be the Messiah, to be the King of the Jews. We see the devil cast down to earth, as we've noted in past messages, now having his opportunity to do the fullness of his work here in this world. And here as we come to this third sign, we see that God is going to be finishing up his wrath upon the inhabitants of the earth. And we notice here that we're told that it's going to happen by means of seven angels. Seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. Now first he said he saw seven angels. And here he's going to give us in the remainder of this chapter, and in the next chapter, the details concerning this vision that he saw. He's going to point us to the revelation that God has given to him concerning the last things, the things that are taking place right at the very end of this 7 years of tribulation, which is going to close out this age in which we're living. Now let's notice again, beginning at the second verse, what he says to us. And I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was open. And the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with a golden girdle. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God who liveth forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. Now when we come to a chapter like this in the book of the Revelation, we begin to understand why we read what we read in the very opening of this book. The book of the Revelation has been criticized by unsaved Bible scholars down through the years as being a book that's hard to be understood. But we're told in the very beginning of this thing, the very first verse, that this is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. Now certainly this is a passage and a chapter that's not going to be understood to any extent by anybody who's not a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because everything here has to do with the Old Testament Scripture. It's all related to the actual historical events that took place in connection with the nation of Israel. It's all related to the typology that's pictured there in the Old Testament. And it's all actual history in the future, recorded before it ever comes to pass. And yet it's not going to mean anything to us unless we understand how it all ties in with the Old Testament Scripture. Now previously, we've noted the Jewish character of this book. The Bible is a Jewish book. And when we come to this 15th chapter and read it, The first thing that catches our eye about this passage is the many allusions to Old Testament truth. Now, we've noted how that after the fourth chapter of the book of the Revelation, the church is never seen again here on earth during the course of this tribulation period. Immediately, the whole story becomes centered in the nation of Israel. And we've also studied the reason for that. We noted how the book of Daniel holds the key to prophecy in the Word of God. The 70 weeks of Daniel is that which unlocks the prophetic truth of the New Testament that we might understand the time periods that are set forth. Daniel predicted 70 weeks of years, 77-year periods of time in which God would be finishing up his work among the chosen people of Jews. 77-year periods in which God would be testing this nation and trying this nation and judging this nation. Now, 69 of these 7-year periods took place from the time of Nehemiah in the Old Testament, when he began to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, until the time when the Jews rejected the Lord Jesus. 69 of those 7-year periods went by. But after 69 of the 7-year periods were completed, God stopped dealing with Israel as a nation and turned to the Gentiles, to those who are not a part of that nation, to we who are of the other nations of the world. He did this when the Jews rejected the Lord Jesus and when he went to Calvary's cross to die for your sins and mine. And God is not going to take up his dealings with the nation of Israel until this time right now in which he's dealing with the Gentiles is complete. We read in the book of Romans that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And Israel as a nation right at this moment, at this point in time today, is very much antagonistic toward the truth of God and toward the Lord Jesus as the promised Messiah. But God is working primarily today among the Gentiles, among those who have never come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. But the day is going to come when this final period of 7 years is going to begin. There's one 7-year period of God's dealing with Israel left to come. And it's going to begin immediately upon the Lord Jesus catching away his people to be with himself. He's coming to the air, to the atmosphere above the earth, for those of us who know him as our Savior. And at that time, he's going to begin again to deal with Israel as a nation. And these 7 years that are missing from the fulfillment of Daniel's prophecy are going to take place. So this tribulation period that we're studying here is the 70th week of Daniel. It's the 7-year period of God's judgment that's going to be poured out as he finishes up his work with regard to Israel as a nation. Now, it is indeed Jewish in nature. The primary emphasis of the book of Revelation is Jewish because God's primary emphasis is upon dealing with the Jews as a nation. And so it's not at all strange when we come to this 15th chapter and to the final judgments that are going to come that we should read in the second verse of the Sea of Glass. And I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire. And them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name stand on the sea of glass having the harps of God. Now the sea of glass is a scene out of the tabernacle. And even more specifically out of Solomon's temple. It was a great brass basin that had water in it. And it was a place where the priests would go to purify themselves. Now here we have a picture of these tribulation saints who have laid down their life for the Lord Jesus. They've gotten the victory over the beast. The Antichrist has sought to get them to worship him and fall down and worship his image and receive his mark and the number of his name, as we've been studying in the 13th chapter. But these are those who have resisted the beast, those who have been faithful to the Lord Jesus. And here we see them in heaven We see them standing in this place of purification. Now, so often we see this emphasis, we see this symbolism in the Word of God. The Lord Jesus washed the feet of his disciples, signifying how you and I can be cleansed by the Word of God from the defilement of this world upon our walk as we seek to go about living out a life that's pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ. And as the priests of God walking through this world, we need to be cleansed by the water of the Word of God. We need to be purified, even as these people were, to know where we stand, to know why we stand, to be willing to die, even as they were, for the Lord Jesus Christ. But they were standing on the sea of glass mingled with fire. This was no placid cleansing by the preaching of the Word of God. It was the fire that they'd been through. And taking their stand for the Lord Jesus and getting victory over the beast and over his image, over his mark, and over the number of his name, it had been necessary for them to go through the fire of affliction spoken of by the Apostle Peter. He said, "Take it not strange concerning the fiery trial that is Christ," as though some strange thing happened to it. We're talking about the fire of persecution that comes to the Lord's people when they take a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "In the world ye shall have tribulation." Paul said, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." And here we see those who were faithful unto death, who were there in heaven, having been martyred out of the tribulation period, but we see them in connection with a sea of glass. Then we see in the third verse the song of Moses and of the Lamb. They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. Now it's not without significance that we find in Exodus chapter 15 something very similar to what we find here in Revelation chapter 15. In Exodus 15, we have the first song in the Bible recorded. It's the song of Moses. And the song there is telling us about how Israel was delivered from Egypt by the blood of the Passover lamb. When we come here to Revelation 15, we find another song of Moses, the last song in the Bible. It also is telling us about deliverance and about another lamb, the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has delivered these tribulation saints and us also by his own precious blood. The first song in the Bible, the song of Moses. Moses and the Lamb. The last song in the Bible, the song of Moses also, and the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. So you see how all these things are pointing us back to the things that happened in the history of the nation of Israel. We see also here when we come to the fifth verse, "And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was open." The temple of the tabernacle. Now in the Old Testament economy, the temple and the tabernacle were the dwelling places of God among his people. Here we see the same scene in heaven, where God is sitting in the heavenly holy of holies. He's there in the place of his presence. And that makes the sixth verse very significant. "And the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues." So these were angels who came out of the very presence of God. They're coming forth from the holy of holies in heaven, from the very place where God himself is dwelling. They're coming forth having the seven plagues. In verse 6, we have another Old Testament scene pictured in heaven. "And the seven angels came out of the temple having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. I'll turn back, if you will, to Revelation chapter 1. We'll see a very similar situation in Revelation chapter 1. Notice verse 12. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. Now we noticed when we studied that together that this is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, risen and glorified, now in heaven, in the function of a high priest. He's there as our advocate with the Father, dressed in this robe and in this golden girdle, the high priestly garment that belonged to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we come to Revelation 15:6, we see these seven angels also coming out of the temple, clothed in these same priestly garments, clothed in pure and white linen, having their breasts girded with golden girdles. We notice also in this sixth verse of Revelation 15 that they have the seven plagues. And this is reminiscent of another set of plagues in Moses' day, which God used to deliver Israel from Egypt. And here we see that God, in a future day, is going to use another set of plagues in connection with this same nation of Israel to deliver them from the bondage of this world. In verse 7, we read, and one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God who liveth forever and ever. Seven golden vials. Now we usually think of a vial as a glass container or a beaker, but these are golden containers made out of gold, looking back to the golden censer that was to be found in the Old Testament tabernacle, the Old Testament temple. Gold in the Bible speaks of deity. And as we see it here, these are not the containers of the wrath of the angels, but these are the containers of the wrath of deity, the wrath of God himself that's about to be poured out upon the earth. Seven golden vials full of the wrath of God who liveth forever and ever. Verse 8, the temple again. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. Here's the temple again in heaven, filled with the smoke of God's glory and power. Now this same thing happened many times over in the Old Testament scriptures. When the Shekinah glory of God was in the temple, it was just like a great smoke, clouding the holy things within from the face of the beast. So you see how all this action taking place in Revelation 15 is reaching back into the Old Testament scripture. It's pointing us back to God's Old Testament dealings with his nation. The sea of glass, the song of Moses and the Lamb, the temple, the tabernacle, the plagues of judgment and deliverance, the priestly garments of the angels, the golden censer, the smoke of the glory of God. All right, now we want to notice these vials just briefly. So notice what we read in Revelation chapter 16, verse 1. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. So this whole 15th chapter has been taken to bring us down to this point, to show us what God chose to guard in preparation for this judgment, this fullness of the wrath of God that's about to be poured out upon the earth. The second verse, and the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth. The third verse, and the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea. fourth verse, the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of water. Verse 8, the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun. Now these first four vials are significant because there's a very direct correlation here between these vial judgments and the trumpet judgments recorded for us back in Revelation chapters 8 and 9. And here we see when we compare those with these that this is indeed the end time. That this is the closing hour of the age because things are far more serious and far more settled when these judgments are poured out. The first trumpet judgment was sounded upon the earth. The first vial judgment was poured out upon the earth. But in the first trumpet judgment, the judgment was upon the trees and upon the grass. But this time it's on man. The first went in verse 2 and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. Earlier in the 7 years of tribulation, as that first trumpet sounded, judgment was poured out upon the earth. But that time it was upon the inanimate objects. Here it's upon man himself. When the second trumpet sounded, one-third of the sea was turned to blood, and one-third of the creatures in the sea died. But when we come here to the third verse, we see how much more serious it is when the second vial is poured out upon the sea. It became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. Not just one-third this time, but the sea itself as a whole. Not one-third of the creatures dying this time, but every living soul died in the midst of the sea. When the third trumpet sounded, it too came upon the rivers and the fountains of water. But that time, one-third of the waters were polluted. But when we come here to this 16th chapter, we see in verse 4 that the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and the fountains of waters, and they became blood. Not one-third this time, but all of them. And I heard the angel of the waters say, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shalt be, because thou hast judged us. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And I heard another out of the altar say, Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. Now you'll remember that long ago, in the beginning of the tribulation period, when this martyrdom began, when people began to give their life for the Lord Jesus, there was a voice that cried out in prayer from the altar, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood upon them that dwell upon the earth? Here we see the answer to that prayer. Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and was and shall be, because thou hast judged us. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And I heard another voice out of the altar say, Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. The fourth trumpet judgment also was directly parallel to this. It was poured out upon the sun. But then, one-third of the sun was darkened. But here when we come to the eighth verse, we see a little different situation. The fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues. And they repented not to give him glory. So this time, instead of darkness, as a warning of things to come, here we see the sun moving closer to the earth, apparently, and scorching the people of the earth with a great heat. But instead of repenting of their sin, instead of turning to the Lord Jesus Christ and calling out to God for mercy, they blasphemed the name of God. And they repented not to give him glory. Now these others are related also. When we come to the fifth vial in the 10th verse, the fifth angel sounded out. This angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. Now when the fifth when the fifth trumpet sounded, you'll remember the bottomless pit was open. A dark cloud of demon-possessed locusts came out of that pit. This place where a great number of the armies of Satan, the angels that fell with him, were gathered together, was open. But here we see the vial poured out upon the sea of the beast, the place of his power. His kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates. You'll remember that when the sixth trumpet sounded, the Euphrates River is also mentioned. There we saw that an army of 200 million men by demonic power was gathered together. And here when the sixth angel sounds, or rather the sixth angel pours out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, we see that the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. Now we saw last week the battle of Armageddon, and we noted how here, as this sixth angel pours out his vial of the wrath of God upon the earth, upon the river Euphrates, it's all in preparation for the closing battle of this age in which we're living, for this great battle of Armageddon is going to take place in the plain of Megiddo over in the land of Palestine, when these great armies from all over the world, the king of the north, the king of the south, the king of the west, are going to come to attack the Antichrist in the city of Jerusalem. All these, we see, have to do with consummation. The others had to do with beginning. One third of the trees burned up. One third of the sea turned to blood. One third of the creatures died. One third of the waters polluted. One third of the sun darkened, and so forth. But here we see the consummation of these things as God is closing out man's power and man's wisdom here upon this earth. And finally, in one great act, he brings them together in the course of this sixth vial judgment into the place called Armageddon. All the armies of the world moving together to come down to this focal point for the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Now the seventh trumpet was one of prophecy. The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. The seventh trumpet was sounded, and that prophecy was given. And here as the seventh vial is poured out, we're going to see how that prophecy is fulfilled. When the seventh vial is poured out, then the judgment of God is to be poured upon Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. This is the philosophy. This is the wisdom. This is the essence of satanic power and all that human thought can do. And we see it brought together under the figure of this woman, a great whore, it says, that sitteth upon many waters, upon all the many nations of the earth, nations and peoples and tongues. And upon the forehead of this woman was a name written, Mystery, which means something never before revealed, here in the Word of God. Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And next week we're going to be studying that together. We're going to see that God has indeed revealed to us this mystery. He's told us about the philosophy and the wisdom of Babylon, and about how this satanic structure is in evidence today and will be in evidence fully during the tribulation period. And it's only when God destroys Babylonianism that he's going to be able to bring this earth into subjection to the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as God has his spirit at work in the world today, the spirit of iniquity, the spirit of Babylonianism, is already at work. Just as God has this mighty force for good in his people, you're the salt of the earth, holding back the corruption of the world. So the devil has this corruptive influence of Babylonianism, the force of his spirit at work in the hearts and lives of men and women and boys and girls in this world today. We're going to be studying that next week. This seventh vial judgment poured out into the air. The devil, the prince and power of the air, going to be poured out in the destruction of mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Now I hope that as we've studied these vile judgments together tonight, that you've seen very clearly what God has in store for this old world. There's going to be destruction. There's going to be death. There's going to be disease. There's going to be everything that we think of as harmful and hateful. All the things that we'd like to avoid, God says are going to come to pass in the 7 years of tribulation. Now, of course, not many people believe that. It's so much easier to believe that we've just begun to evolve into wonderful people, and someday we'll get better and better, and finally everything will turn out all right. But you see, God says it's not like that. God says that miraculously, one day he's going to have to intervene in order to put a stop to the wickedness of this world. In the days of Noah, every imagination of the thoughts of man's heart was only evil continually. And Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. The human race was so polluted in the days of Noah that the only answer was to destroy every man, woman, and child in the human race, except for Noah and his family. And we see the same type situation here in the tribulation period. Except for a remnant of Jews and an even smaller remnant of Gentiles, God is going to have to destroy the vast majority of the people on this earth. Now, there could be some of the people that you and I know today, if the Lord would come tonight. There could be a great many of the people that we work with and live with, family and friends, people that we know quite well. And that's why it's necessary to understand that these things are coming, to believe it, and to understand that the gospel is the only power of God unto salvation to those who believe. We need to tell people of this story, the old story of Jesus and his love, and let them know about the plan of God and point them to the way of eternal life. Because if you can believe this book, then of course you can, or we wouldn't be here tonight. The time is at hand. The signs are in evidence. Every single one of them are in evidence today. And we're living in the very generation, I believe, without question, that's going to see the coming of the Lord Jesus, the rapture of the church, and this 7 years of tribulation that's pointed to here in the Word of God. Now, the world, of course, has an earthly hope. They're planning to solve the pollution problems and the energy crisis problems and the food crisis problems and all these things. But God says it's going to get worse and worse. It's going to come down to the day very shortly when the only way that you can buy or sell is to have a mark in your right hand or in your forehead. Mark of the beast. A great computer system to dish out the food to the people of this world. Now, I hope that you and I understand that the important thing right now is to realize the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. to see this simple plan of salvation that God has provided, how that the Lord Jesus would come from heaven's glory to go to Calvary's cross to bear your sins and mine. And that by coming to Him and trusting in that sacrifice and in that precious blood and giving our life to Him, we can know what it is to receive God's gift of eternal life. That's when we get the greatest security that anybody can ever know. Because then we have the divine protection that can only come from God Himself. Not only now, but for all eternity. And we're looking not for the Antichrist, but for the Lord Jesus Christ to come at any moment to catch us away, to be with Him forever. God has not appointed us to wrath, if we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. He's not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Now the world, as I say, is full of people who aren't going to believe that message. They're going to keep right on rejecting it until one day, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, all those who are saved are going to disappear off the face of the earth. The Antichrist will have an explanation. He'll know just exactly why it happened. A strange cosmic ray came down and struck the earth, and all those Christians who were made out of the wrong material just disappeared, disintegrated. Something like that. And God is going to send to the people of this world who wouldn't believe the gospel a strong delusion that they'll believe the lie of the Antichrist because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. I hope tonight that you know Christ as your Savior, that you're not worried about strong delusion, that you're not overly concerned about your part in the mark of the beast, but that you're simply aware of these things and willing and able to tell others the good news of salvation and point them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Bow our heads in prayer. Our Father, as we've studied these things tonight, again, we're conscious of the fact that we don't deserve to have this understanding. We realize, Lord, that there's nothing in us to merit this truth as You've revealed it to us. But we're aware also of the great grace and mercy and love that You had for every person in this room tonight. We're conscious of the precious blood that was shed so that each one here in this meeting could know beyond question that they have eternal life and escape this great time of wrath that's coming here upon the earth. Father, we do pray that the Spirit of God will be here tonight in conviction power and teaching power and help us to understand the reality.